Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and liveabout.com. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in 1986, that the first annual induction ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was held in New York City. And it was also on this very same day, sometime later, that the first woman was inducted into that Hall of Fame. So who was the first lady of the hall? Was that A, Etta James, B, Janis Joplin, C, Aretha Franklin, or D, Beyoncé? First female inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So who was that anyway? And question number two. Celebrities, including many musicians, are known for collecting unusual things. What, for example, did singer Rod Stewart collect? Was it A, eyeglasses, B, trains, C, tanks, or D, porcelain pigs? Rod Stewart collected what? The answers to these two important questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of January 21. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1889, that the Columbia Phonograph Company was formed in Washington, D.C., 1889 today. And it was 40 years ago today, 1982, that B.B. King donated his entire record collection to the University of Mississippi's Center for the Study of Southern Culture. The collection included about 20,000 rare blues records. And in country music news, we have this article entitled, Susan Sarandon, Country Queen. She sang in Rocky Horror, her film Breakthrough, now she sings on TV. This is written by Trace Adkins, published in AARP, June 2022 issue. In showbiz, the saying goes, the singers want to be actors, and the actors want to be singers. But some really can do both, as Susan Sarandon and Honky Tonk, Badon Kadunk, belter Trace Adkins prove in the TV series Monarch, coming on January 30th to Fox. The two play the embattled king and queen of country music, Albie Roman, the Texas truth-teller, and two-fisted, golden-throated Dottie Cantrell Roman. It's Sarandon's first TV series lead role, but not her first singing gig. The daughter of a lounge singer, she's the only woman who has duetted with Tim Curry, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, James Gandolfini, Romance and Cigarettes, Eddie Vedder, Cradle Will Rock, Ralphinis, Bernard and Doris, and maybe even David Bowie when they were dating. Adkins is best known for selling 11 million albums, although he also has 40 acting credits, including the films Old Henry and the Lincoln Lawyer, plus the animated TV series King of the Hill. He's 59. Sarandon is 75. So what? I have a complete disconnect with my age, she told London's Daily Mail. I'm not old. I don't feel 75. It's crazy. Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings introduces our classical music news. According to Trace Dominguez in D News on 7/9/2013, titled Why We Like Sad Songs, science says that when we listen to sad music, our brains know it's a learned cultural expression of sadness, but it also knows it's not a personal sadness, and we interpret that as pleasure. Essentially, there are two kinds of emotion, felt emotion, personally experienced, and perceived emotion. That is sad, but it's not me. So when Otis Redding sings a breakup song, it's kind of happy, because while it tugs at your heartstrings, your brain makes a distinction. It knows that you're not actually sad, and thus you get pleasure from listening to the beautiful composition. So next time you hear sad music, like Barber's Adagio for Strings, for example, relish it, because your brain knows that it's nothing personal, and you are not actually sad, which provides a somewhat ironic segue to this November 22, 2021, classical music news article published in TakeLessons.com, titled, Sad Violin Music That Will Bring You to Tears. Are you ready to cry your eyes out? Just listen to this sad violin music. The violin is a particularly emotive instrument with plenty of powerful and sad violin music to explore. When you're feeling down or simply looking for the perfect song to capture melancholy feelings or looking for beautiful sad violin music with piano, consider these songs. Make sure you have some tissues on hand and sign up for violin lessons to help you master these heartbreaking songs as soon as possible. Often you'll find that a song can become sadder just by altering something simple in your bowing technique or how you emphasize notes. Here are some songs to help you express or portray sad emotions. Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber, the song playing in the background now. Though not just for solo violin, Barber's Adagio for Strings is one of the most moving pieces of music ever composed. It was written in 1936 and is an arrangement of the slow movement from his second string quartet. It has been featured in a number of TV shows, commercials, and movies, most notably in the film Apocalypse Now. The Adagio is written for a string orchestra, but features the violin in more exposed sections. The music starts softly and builds very gradually into sweeping, climatic sections that can overwhelm the listener with emotion. And then there's this. theme from the 1993 Steven Spielberg film Schindler's List by John Williams. This film tells the story of Oskar Schindler, a German businessman who was responsible for saving over 1,000 Polish Jews during the Holocaust. It is a deeply moving story, and the film touched hearts throughout the world. The music for the film was equally moving, in large part due to the emotional music score written by John Williams. One of the most famous musical pieces in the film is the main theme. It is a piece for solo violin that renowned violinist Isaac Perlman performs. This sad violin sheet music is melancholy, haunting, and extremely evocative. And we mustn't ignore this one. Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger. Not all sad violin music is classic. One of the most hauntingly moving pieces for the violin is the Appalachian Waltz, Ashokan Farewell. Jay Unger composed it in 1982 in the style of a folk ballad or Scottish lament. Though simple and sweet, staying true to the character of American folk music, this piece evokes deep emotions of saying farewell to loved ones. The piece reappeared in the 1990 Ken Burns miniseries, The Civil War. Last, but not least, we have this piece by Jules Massenet. Meditation from Thais. This beautiful violin song occurs within the first scene of Act Two in the famed opera Thais. In the scene, a Cenobite monk asks Thais to find salvation through God. As she ponders the decision, the orchestra plays the exquisite 5-minute interlude. Other pieces discussed in this article include compositions by Tchaikovsky, Johann Sebastian Bach, and Edvard Grieg, among others. Enjoy them all. Just remember, it's nothing personal. Thank you. And in music research and technology, we address the question, where are the best music therapy degrees? This is written in thebestschools.org, published by the TBS staff, on the 31st of December, 2021. Writer Corrine Helin nailed it when she wrote that the magic of musical medicine will come into its own. The application of such healing potencies will not be limited just to man's body and mind. It will be an agency for building and healing his soul as well. Indeed, musical medicine has come into its own in the professional field of music therapy. The Arizona State University declares BEST the focus of music therapy, defining it as a healthcare and special education profession where engagement in active and receptive music making within the context of a therapeutic relationship helps a client achieve non-musical therapeutic goals. Simply stated, music therapists use music to help others heal. By implementing a variety of instruments, songs, and styles, music therapists assist vast and different populations of patients to achieve their own non-musical therapeutic goals. Whether in private practice, schools, long-term care facilities, hospitals, even correctional centers, music therapy and healing take place. The field finds itself fitting into several industries, the perfect intersection of healthcare, special education, psychology, and performing arts. That intersection necessitates rigorous training and extensive education, both requisites for attaining the MT-BC, Music Therapist Board Certified credential. Schools receiving top rankings in this article include University of Georgia, Arizona State University, Appalachian State University, and Florida State University. The description given of ASU, ranked number 4 in the ratings, is that it's located in Boone, North Carolina. Appalachian State offers the BM in music therapy degree. All faculty teaching in this program are current MT-BC, which is a huge asset to the department. Freshmen hit the ground running with coursework, observations, and clinical training beginning in the first year. An audition with faculty, an interview, and the passing of introduction to music therapy with a B- or better are all prerequisites for program acceptance. According to the website, nearly 100% of program graduates have passed the National Board Certification Exam and achieved job placement in music therapy. Appalachian State University, here in North Carolina. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in 1986, that the first annual induction ceremony for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was held in New York City. Sometime after that, on this very day, the first woman was inducted into that Hall of Fame. Who was that first lady of the hall? Was it A, Etta James, B, Janis Joplin, C, Aretha Franklin, or D, Beyoncé? Correct answer? Answer C, Aretha Franklin, who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on this very day in 1987, just 1 year after that inaugural induction ceremony. And the answer to our second question, celebrities, including many musicians, are known for collecting unusual things. What, for example, did singer Rod Stewart collect? Was it A, eyeglasses, B, trains, C, tanks, or D, porcelain pigs? All of these, by the way, were collected by some musicians. Correct answer here, answer B, trains. As noted in a January 16, 2020, liveabout.com article titled 10 Wonderfully Weird Collections, Stewart said, I'm not the only rock star who loves model trains. Every 3 years, Model Railroader magazine puts me on their cover, which is better than Rolling Stone, Rod Stewart once boasted. He also told the Daily Mirror that he's so fond of his train set collection that he often takes it on tour with him, sometimes booking a second hotel room for his models. The permanent train set he keeps at home, meanwhile, is a bigger than a tennis court, while his model of New York's famous Grand Central Station, circa 1940, is an object of envy among fellow collectors. Stewart, who once refused the BBC permission to film his train set in order to protect its privacy, has said of his passion, "I was brought up on the archway road overlooking the station and tube lines, so when I got up, I used to see them. My dad brought me a train set, and it stayed with me forever and ever. It's a wonderful hobby. People laugh, but I don't care. Fellow rockers Roger Daltrey and Neil Young are also train enthusiasts. In the 1990s, Young even became a part owner of the Lionel Train Toy Company." That same article also noted the following. "One of the overlooked perks of being a celebrity, we imagine, is how much easier it must be to satisfy your inner nerd. You're free to amass collections of whatever weird stuff they want. Hollywood stars tend to lead by example when it comes to curious curios. Tom Hanks collects vintage typewriters. Leonardo DiCaprio hoards action figures. Nicolas Cage likes vintage comic books. Angelina Jolie has a lot of antique knives. But musicians aren't to be outdone. From tanks and porcelain pigs to stuffed giraffes in Davy Crockett's leather pouch, here are some of the strangest objects of desire coveted by the great and the good of pop. Grandmaster Flash collects mugs. Not content with being a hip-hop pioneer and turntable supreme, who was so influential that he and his groundbreaking group, the Furious Five, became the first rap act to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Joe Wiley of Grandmaster Flash is also on a quest to seemingly amass the greatest mug collection the world has ever known. He's so concerned about keeping them in pristine condition that the room temperature is correct and the place is insured," he said, of his 5,000-odd mugs, which he keeps as souvenirs from every state or country he visits. Janis Jackson collects porcelain pigs. For some odd, unquantifiable reason, the combination of pigs and pop stars seems to hit some pricey collectible sweet spot. In September last year, a pig-shaped statue of Ed Sheeran, or to give it its proper title, Ed Sheerham, raised £6,200 for the St. Elizabeth Hospice in Ipswich. After Ed himself purchased it, other popular lots included Piggy Stardust and Elvis Porksley. For Janet Jackson, the sheer number of porcelain pigs gathered into her collection ended up becoming a concern. "I always wanted a hobby, so I decided to collect pigs," she matter-of-factly said. "I have no idea why, and everyone started giving them to me. I had hundreds of pigs. I mean, really, what was I supposed to do with them?" And then there's Phil Collins, who collects Alamo artifacts. Phil Collins shuns novelty or quirky objects in favor of bona fide historical artifacts. For years, he set about gathering memorabilia from the Alamo, cultivating a collection which included over 200 items. According to Rolling Stone, it was believed to be the largest of its kind. His haul included rarities such as a fringed leather pouch once owned by Davy Crockett and an original Bowie knife belonging to Jim Bowie. "When the Alamo, rather than on Ferraris, he spent," said Collins, who became interested in the famous 1836 battle after watching a 50s TV documentary about Crockett. He donated his $100 million valued collection to a Texas museum in 2014, giving up his spoils in order to help others remember the Alamo. Then there's Bjork. She collects miniature boats. "Some people collect stamps. Some people collect Snoopies. I collect boats," Bjork said back in 1993. She lived in the harbor in Reykjavik, the Icelandic singer admits, where she used to watch the boats coming in and out. She used a variety of recordings of boat and harbor sounds in her records. Then there's Jack White. He collects taxidermy. This is the Detroit garage rockers, the White Stripes. Frontman Jack has an enthusiasm for taxidermy with stuffed giraffes, antelopes, and gazelles as part of his collection. No matter where I look, there are eyes staring at me, he said, and they're totally silent. They're such majestic creatures, and I relate to that so well. It really puts me in my place. Then there's Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love, heart-shaped boxes. Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain was an avid collector of all sorts of objects. Particular favorites of his included toy monkeys and anatomical models. He and his wife, Courtney Love, the singer-songwriter and leader of the band Hole, also had a large collection of heart-shaped candy boxes, which they would often give to one another as gifts. Their shared hobby was later immortalized in the Nirvana song Heart-Shaped Box, which is often regarded as a dark love letter. And then Elton John collected glasses. Besides his collection of over 7,000 photographs, Sir Elton's also got a soft spot for sunglasses, which is why you seldom see him sporting the same pair. I don't have an iPod or a computer, he told the BBC in 2010. I do have a quarter of a million pairs of glasses, but I don't even have a mobile phone. So let's close out today's program with a Blue Moon cover by the train collector Rod Stewart with Eric Clapton on guitar.
Blue Moon, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.